This is Jim from the Northeast Podcast. First, I want to tell you guys about American Mortgage Brokers and AmericanMortgageBrokers.com. If you're in the market, buy, sell, maybe refi, this is probably the place you want to go with. This is a local company. They take really good care of you. You will be very important to them. And they have two websites, shouldirefi.com or shouldibuyorsell.com. And between the two of those, you'll be able to kind of weigh your options and make sense if it makes sense for you financially, which is really important. So check those out or call Chelsea at 612-271-6574. They are an equal opportunity lender, NMLS number 284286.
You're listening to the Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How's it going, guys?
Excellent.
I feel great, man. That food at High High was so good.
Yeah. So we had High High. Make sure you check that out if you haven't listened yet.
And we don't mean that lightly. Like, go eat at High High. You will be very impressed.
It's a very special restaurant.
It really is. Yeah. So we were there. Had a great time. Christina took great care of us. We tried
owner and chef, which is really the best person you want to be talking to.
Yeah. And honestly, it was really fun. I don't know how many times we've had food prepared while being with the chef, and she was very stressed out about making sure that it was just perfect.
So I know it was funny to be like, how many X marks do you think they put next to that ticket to go in to be cooking the chef's food for them with the podcasts? And they clearly nailed it because everything was incredible.
Yeah, so go listen to that episode. It was a lot of fun. We tried to do some random episodes for you guys like that sometimes. And yeah, I think it was a really fun one. It was a great way to showcase one of the new places in Northeast Minneapolis.
Hot new place.
And now to showcase us, please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Northeast Podcast. Also, go to iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Overcast.
It's like everywhere but SoundCloud since we moved from there. That's it.
Yep.
We're everywhere else.
Yeah. I mean, in SoundCloud, if we were going to put out a mixtape that no one wanted to listen to, we'd go back to there. But we're not doing that. So all those other places you can find us. And the best part is 2018, it's free all year long.
It's going to be a good year.
Multiple episodes a week for free.
What a good deal for the listeners.
We provide a lot of value for our listeners and our stakeholders.
Yeah. So there you go. Give us a follow. Give us some good communication. Ask us some funny questions. Tell us what you want to hear about. And we'll try to answer the fans and give you guys the best content every single week. This week, it's a sports cast. So we're going to talk all about Minnesota sports. But before we jump into that, we're going to try a brand new beer, something we haven't tried yet on the pod. First sips we're having. Ryan, why don't you tell us about it? What are we drinking today?
So we're going back to Fort Collins, Colorado. I think it was probably like a year ago, maybe. It's been a long time. This is Funkworks Brewing, the lesser known of the Odell New Belgium breweries in Fort Collins.
It's the third one.
I mean,
only because not because they lack in quality, just because they're not as big as those behemoths.
Yeah, by sheer volume, they're definitely third place, hard third place.
Yeah.
This is Saison d'Aublaun.
Butchering. We might need Laura to check our French here.
We need some French influence on the pronunciation. Mm-hmm. This is a hoppy Saison ale. So they kind of specialize in, you know, Saison, Belgian style.
Sours too. Yeah.
Yeah. Sour, yeasty-ish beers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeasty. That's a good way to put it.
A hoppy Saison full of bright citrus colors. And it's got dry hop additions to it. And I've never really been disappointed. The only thing I don't like about Funkworks is sometimes their price points tend to be a little bit high for like a four pack or something like that. But overall, their beer quality is so good. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is any different than any of the other ones they put out.
I haven't seen how boozy this is. I feel like it's a little stronger. Is it like a 7.5?
5.9.
Oh, wow. It tastes a little hot to me, but it's really, really tasty. Maybe that's just because I'm not used to a hop character and like a Saison,
yeah, I agree.
It's really, really good.
Yeah, nice, easy, drinkable, citrusy. It says a hint of crisp melon. If that means anything to anybody, if you love melon flavor in your beer.
Love a crisp melon.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's kind of a hard one to say. But anyway, yeah, we love Funkworks. Mm-hmm. I used to have that hat. We had to retire the hat. Got too many sweat stains and got a little too funkified.
Too funky?
It had to be sent to the hat retirement home,
yeah,
which is the back of my closet, never to be heard from again.
That's probably a good place for those.
Yeah, but it's there. I still have it. I didn't get rid of it, obviously. never get rid of a hat that was perfect. So the wife just doesn't let me walk out of the house with it.
That's good.
So, yeah.
All right, guys. So we're going to enjoy this beer, which is very tasty. In the meantime, we're going to talk some sports. We'll focus on Minnesota today. We will talk about the red-hot Minnesota Wild. We will also talk about the Minnesota Twins and some of the brilliant moves that they've made this offseason. But before we get into that, we have to start with some bad news. A knee injury, a non-contact knee injury to Timberwolves all-star and star player Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Blech.
Not it's fun. Rough. Fun at all.
I never expected to beat the best team in the league at home. Like, I didn't care that we lost that game, but I really cared that we lost our best player in that game.
So, yeah. I mean, good news, bad news, right? It wasn't a torn ACL, so that doesn't mean that means we're not going to miss him for, you know, the beginning of next season.
What the fuck? What's a meniscus?
A meniscus is like the
it's cartilage. It's like a supporting one, right?
It's the cartilage in between your
ligament and your bone.
Yeah.
Okay. So that tore away from his bone a little bit.
So you literally could have no meniscus. So a lot of guys who have really serious knee injuries or many knee injuries eventually just don't have a meniscus.
Well, what the fuck? This is Tibbs. He should be playing.
Yeah. And honestly, with no meniscus, it would just be your ligament constantly rubbing against your bone. It would probably be pretty painful. So sometimes they actually put like a synthetic material, like a gel that they inject into that area to try to like get rid of some of the friction. Or you can actually have a meniscus replaced. Like you could get it from like a cadaver or something like that.
Wow. I had no idea you were so knowledgeable.
But the good thing is, I mean,
about orthopedics. I'm so impressed.
You have four ligaments.
We got to get him a new hat. Ortho Eric.
So you have four ligaments in your knee. So the ACL is the most commonly torn. You also have the PCL, the LCL, and the MCL.
Wow. Holy
so you have shit. Four ligaments.
Listeners, he's not actually looking at notes right now.
No. So you have four of them. I only know this because my younger brother, Adam, had two very, very, very serious leg injuries in his lifetime where he tore multiple ligaments, meniscus, broke his leg.
Is that because you were like putting him in figure four after watching like SmackDown or something?
I wish.
He changed the channel on you and you just went eight. Yeah.
No,
not today, Adam. I know that you're bigger and stronger than me, but I'll still fuck you up.
He did both of them in football, but yeah, that's not that far off, honestly. So
you could have done it to him if you wanted. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, the ligament stuff, this was a blessing. Honestly, a non-contact injury. We have some experience with that even here in Minnesota, even this year, where star rookie running back leading the league in rushing during week four, Dalvin Cook goes down with a non-contact knee injury, tears his ACL out for the year.
Well, and mm-hmm. the scary part was the reactions of Chris Paul and James Harden.
Yeah.
Were like Jimmy said something to him and Chris Paul like moved his arm across his body like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, he thought it was kind of bad because he might have said, like, it popped.
And they, you know.
And you wouldn't know on the court. And they were like, shit. You know, we want to beat the best, right? Yep. We don't want to see any superstars get injured.
Well, except for, like, Zaza.
But is he a superstar?
No, he's not. But
he wants to see superstars get injured.
He clearly does. He wants to fall on their legs. Right, but
the reaction was bad.
But you know, he even said, he said something to Towns when he was being carried off. And that was all sports writers went with for a while. You could read his lips. It's torn. And so everyone's very concerned. I think he was mistaken, unless it was like a torn. Well, I guess I don't know how these things work.
They technically did not say that he had a torn meniscus. They technically said he had a meniscus injury.
Yeah.
Probably pretty safe to assume since they did surgery already, that it was torn in some way.
I mean, I got to hand it to them how quick they get under the knife. It's like, oh, well, we've identified the problem. Then we'll see you tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Like, let's fucking go. The time is clicking or ticking by to get back for the playoffs, which I hope we still make the playoffs. And I think that's where conversation's going to go, and I really hope that he's back for him.
Well, they said, what, 4 to 6 weeks, barring any setbacks? So that's not horrible. That could have been
It could be less, too. I mean,
I haven't heard 4 to 6 weeks, so that's what they're kind of saying, or is that just that's when you look at the injury and the surgery?
The general timetable for that could be 4 to 6. Well, and it could be 4, it could be 8, right, just depending on how it all goes. And everything that I've seen said, and again, it wasn't like doctor confirmed, like his orthopedic surgeon didn't come out and say he could be medically cleared in 4 to 6 weeks. I think that's just sort of the general timetable for that type of injury.
Okay.
Yeah. And honestly, with this, the reason he was able to get into surgery so fast is because when you actually tear one of the ligaments, there's so much swelling in your knee that they have to wait until all that swelling goes down to even do the surgery. Mm. But because there was no torn ligament, they were able to go in right away. It was probably a pretty simple fix, honestly. Well, and
it's generally arthroscopically, so there's no like major incision or anything like that. So.
Even here's the deal. Even if Jimmy Butler it's worse or the recovery is slower than we expected and he's out for the entire season, we still dodged a bullet.
For sure.
I mean, this was a blessing that he didn't tear one of his ligaments. The ACL is very commonly torn. The best thing about it, though, is that even with just basic little tests, just with the hands and the knowledge of a trainer, they pretty much without an MRI can tell if your ACL is torn. So you can imagine they brought him in the locker room. His knee was probably really sore, probably a bit swollen.
Hurt like a son of a bitch.
Yep. And then they
clearly couldn't put any weight on it.
They can do a stability test right away just by moving your leg, and they can tell if your leg is moving back and forth like laterally too much, that it's probably
there's resistance.
Torn.
Yeah. And you'll see the trainers do that for like NFL guys. They'll reach up like behind their hamstring, like behind the knee, and then they'll grab the shin and they'll kind of jerk it back and forth. And if there's
sound bite.
Well, all right. Okay.
Okay. What are we talking about?
They will move it. They will manipulate it back and forth. That sounded like the scene from Silicon Valley when they were trying to figure everything out and how that. Anyway.
They went to the whiteboard for that one. Yeah.
And they'll just move it back and forth, and they can tell pretty quickly if it's that type of injury. So, like Eric said, major bullet dodged, and let's hope quick recovery. Back for the playoffs?
It would be soon? Nice. It would be nice if you was.
No, I mean, are we going to...
Okay, so let's that's talk our about next that. Stage, right? Yeah. I mean, I learned way more about knees than I ever... I'm glad I actually knew. I'm not saying I wanted to. But we have, what, 2 months left of the year?
Yeah. He should be back before the end of the regular season.
End of the regular season.
He should be back with a week
or 2 months. We have a very, very tough stretch coming up. We've looked at the schedule. All year we've known that these teams would be good. It does sort of turn out that even some of the teams that we thought might not be that good are playoff teams, and we have 10 games in a row against playoff teams, East and West. It's mixed up, but they're all fucking great. How do we survive? Do we play well without them? Do we drop, you know, 8 or 9 of these games and get in trouble? What do you guys think?
Well, and then the other problem with the playoff push is that I think – maybe it was different a couple days ago, but when I looked at it, the difference between third place in the West and ninth in the West was like 3.5 games. So there's not a lot of wiggle room there. Yep. We can't have like a 5-game skid.
There could be a shakeup. There hasn't. It's been very steady, at least in the top four.
Yeah, if we drop 4 out of 6, all of a sudden we might be staring 6th, 7th place in the face.
Oh, we couldn't. If we won 6 of 4, we would be fine.
We dropped 4 out of our next 6 games, we could be staring 6th, 7th place.
Okay, not go 4-6 over the 10. Yeah. Yeah, I would be happy with winning 4 out of the next 6.
Yeah, honestly, though, here's the deal. The Wolves are still in a pretty good place where their offense will probably lose a tiny bit of its efficiency, but they have a ready-made replacement to handle the ball more and even pick up the scoring load a little bit more with Wiggins. Who probably isn't a great fit on this team with Towns and with Butler. But without Butler, it puts him into a more natural role as kind of a ball-dominant player who can attack the rim and should be able to pick that scoring up. Where we're going to be in trouble is defensively.
Right.
A big, big, big loss. I mean, there just isn't another guy on the roster. I mean, I'm sure Jamal Crawford will have to play more now, and he's definitely not an answer defensively for us.
He's as good as he is and as consistent as he is, if the ball isn't dropping, he's not doing very much. So he's not.
That's
like,
all he has to offer.
Right. I mean, that's why. I mean, plus he's a little older. So you see Belly step in as a starter instead of Crawford when Crawford's clearly a better player, just because Belly does a little bit more. He's a little bit younger, and he's going to be our starter for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, one of the weird things that kind of happens with an injury like this, and I'm not saying it's a positive in any way. But when you have you know, your team leader go down, it becomes more team-oriented basketball where you're going to focus a lot more on the fundamentals. You're going to focus a lot more on running plays as opposed to like
Jimmy Butler ISO every fucking important play, which does get annoying.
Yeah, we haven't scored in a couple minutes, so let's let Jimmy just do one on four, you know, kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not a good thing, but I think as from like a team standpoint, they're going to have to rely on each other a little bit more. And a lot of times players will rise to the occasion. I think we're hopefully going to be surprised that Wiggins steps up his game. Teague last night stepped up his game big time.
Yeah.
We're going to see Tyus hopefully shoot a little bit more. I think he's a decent scorer. Like you said, Bielitsa, listen, it's time to go, man. No more of this 10 minutes a game. Like you're going to have to come off and you're going to have to produce. And I hope that he does. And sometimes you put guys in the spotlight like that and they fade. And I'm hoping with Tibbs and with Towns, Wiggins, Teague, like a little bit of leadership, everyone comes together and decides to, you know what I mean? Like, let's put this behind us and we're going to play some team basketball.
Yeah. So it looks like Kawhi is probably also out for the year.
Another weird situation.
Isn't that the weirdest situation in sports this year?
Something is so strange there.
It's funny. Everybody.
And this is Pop's team was like, you know, it's like the Patriots in that they're always at least very consistent, right? They're always going to be great.
They're always being in the conversation no matter what.
And now, I mean, yeah, I guess now they're probably back up on. They did beat the Cavs today. They're probably back in third and we're fourth again.
Sure.
Because we were half game up, right?
Okay. So, yeah, there you go.
Something like that. I mean, we're very close. But they're kind of struggling. So that's weird. But, you know, I don't really know. I mean, you know, OKC seems to be like this hot team. Well, they have all these stars and they're a big team, so they get a lot of coverage. But they're still seventh. They're not like knocking on the door necessarily.
Right.
I mean, it goes to like the Trailblazers, who's nobody's talking about, and they're in fifth. So I'm kind of just wondering, like, who's going to jump us?
I think at this point in time that the Wolves could end up anywhere from third to ninth.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's so tight. The gap has closed so much so. The Clippers are not as good as us, even without Jimmy Butler. But, I mean, they're in ninth place right now. They're just a few games behind.
Jazz behind them.
You know, the Thunder have really struggled as of late. They've had some tough games, but they're not playing their best. Lost, you know, they were 4-6 in their last 10 games. It's just going to be critical. I mean, that we are a little consistent, even if we lose to some of these better teams, because I think number three is still readily available. I mean,
I think so too. We're
tied right now with San Antonio. No Kawhi Leonard gives us a little more hope in that spot. And, you know, I truly believe Jimmy could come back late in the regular season, hopefully feeling close to 100%, and really push us, you know, as that three spot, and, you know, hopefully compete in the second round and, you know, gain some really, really, really important playoff experience going into an all-important next season take a bigger leap.
So the ideal situation, right, would be Butler comes back enough, let's say like 2 weeks before the regular season ends, maybe he gets like 4 or 5 games under his belt. Roughly knock some of the rust off.
Maybe a minutes restriction, whatever. Yep. Like get him in there.
He's knock some of the rust off. Knock some of the rust off.
It's the confidence that he can go as hard as he wants.
And we might be that team that's sort of the anomaly going into the playoffs where we're like, yeah, they're the 7th seed, but they got Butler back. So nobody really wants to play us at that point. I'm not saying that playing the 2 seed and playing Houston is the ideal situation, but I'm saying if Butler comes back, that would be a scary team.
It's got to be like 6 seed or nothing.
That's true. We can't be 7.
Just look at how it falls off. We're the 3rd seed, and look at the teams above us. I mean, if you talk about, everybody's so knotted up. Not really. Houston and Golden State are like
running away.
10.5 games ahead of everybody else.
10.5 games ahead of everybody else. So there's 1-2, and then there's everybody else. Yeah,
Houston and Golden State tied at the top.
I stupidly said the 7 seed. 7,
but say 6, and everything applies. And it's like, I mean, damn, anybody can win a series against anybody else.
I mean, 3 San Antonio is 10.5 games back, and 8 Oklahoma City is 12.5 games back. So 2 games separate 3 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then just behind them, 3.5 Clippers, games Jazz. out of first place is Clippers, and 4.5 games out of third place is Utah. So, I mean, those teams are alive and well. They could make it as well. It's just going to be, can we find the consistency? Can Towns really kind of show that he's capable of being a number one?
Right.
He's been unbelievable.
He's our number one option. He's been great.
He's great. He's probably really and truly the best player on their team, even with Jimmy out there, who's been so ball dominant.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Towns has led the league in double-doubles since he came into the league. He is a machine on the boards. His defense has improved. Mm-hmm. For a big man, he's a good passer. He shoots like 40%+ from three.
Right.
I mean, he is a freak. And now that the ball will have to be in his hands a little bit more, now he's a true number one offensive threat out there, I expect his points per game average to skyrocket as well.
And this is not shit on Jimmy Butler just because he's sitting, but he's always been like go, 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 clutch. Like every clutch possession, he takes it. And we haven't won a lot of those clutch games. He's missed a lot of those clutch shots that would put us into OT or would win the game for us, and we've lost. And I'd be curious to see how other players handle that last shot, including Wiggins, who has made a couple of great clutch shots for us but hasn't gotten them since the third week of the season.
Absolutely. Well, and the only flaw in your argument is that the only reason we had the last shot where we were tied was that Butler D'd up the guy on the other end.
Else.
He blocked the shot and then got the rebound and then dove on the ball and called timeout, and then we advanced
and then
the ball
for the shot. Yeah. But yes, I completely agree
with
that.
That's the only flaw in your argument, right? But if we're in those situations, I really think it's going to come down to Andrew Wiggins. And God, that's a shitty place to be in right now, considering how he's played for the last 2 months. I mean, maybe even the whole season.
Yeah.
And when Butler was out the last time with, what was he out, like a week? Wiggins raised his game. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just because the plays...
He's a fucking head case.
But no, but maybe those plays that were originally for Jimmy Butler were now being called for Andrew Wiggins, and he stepped up and made the shots when he needed, or, you know, a majority of them. He looked a lot better. I'm not saying that we're a better team without Butler, but maybe Andrew Wiggins, this is an opportunity to say, hey, man, shit wasn't going the way you wanted it to. Now's your opportunity. Let's step up. Let's do this as a team. Maybe we get a little bit more out of him. I mean, anything. Yeah.
Obviously at this point we're painting this as a positive. We're trying our best. Obviously it sucks. It's horrible, but only time will tell. Like Eric said, our options at this point are between the third and ninth seed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely accurate.
And honestly, there's no number you could tell me that would truly shock me. If you looked into a crystal ball, you could see the future.
If they finished 10, it would just be such a heartbreaker.
If you finished
in
10th, I'd be like, oh, I guess, yeah, we really fell apart without Jimmy. If they were like, hey, they easily ended up with that third spot. Wow, were they good at the end of the year? I'd be like, yep, they are deep team, deeper than we gave them credit for all year. You know, I mean, I could really be talked into
it. You can go either way. Yeah.
It is true. So, oh, man, it's going
to
be
honestly,
very interesting.
Honestly, to be realistic, it's probably somewhere in the middle. They're probably going to end up as, like, the five. And, you know, hopefully if that's the case, they get a healthy Jimmy Butler for the playoffs. Hopefully everyone else stays healthy and they get to play like Portland or Denver. You know.
So is best case scenario for us right now 4 seed?
Best case scenario remains what it was last year, that we make the playoffs.
No, I think truly the best case scenario is still number 3. And I think we can still get there. I think it's still realistic. They just have to be reasonable. They don't have to win every game. They are able to lose some. Everyone else is going to lose too. I mean, the West is deep, deeper than it's been. Maybe not better than it's been, but deeper than it's been.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right. You
know, Kawhi is not coming back. And that's a flawed Spurs team that's really been struggling. You also have a struggling OKC. Mm-hmm. And the other teams, Denver is a really average team. You know, they could show up on any night, but they could be beat by anybody.
Jokic is a step back. You don't see highlights from him constantly
anymore. He's been playing some of his best ball, and he still is like he's still not at the level of some of these other guys in the West. And then, obviously, you know, like Lillard could take over a game at any time. But again, they're a flawed team as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think even without Butler, the Wolves are in the conversation with all these teams as long as it's not Houston and Golden State.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to move on to the main event today. But before we do that, we have to do a little advertisement.
Yeah, I just want to talk about Hanson Severson Real Estate Group. So check these guys out. I mean, they're doing Parade of Homes right now, and these Hanson homes are absolutely gorgeous. Go check them out. You'll probably get to meet, you know, either Nick or John or Luke. These guys are fun. So go check it out. Go look at one of these Hanson homes during this Parade of Homes event. I mean, it's going to be great. Or find them on Facebook, Hanson Severson Real Estate Group.
All right. So moving on, we're going to move on to the Minnesota Twins, a team who, you know, probably overachieved a bit last year. And it seemed like it might be difficult to redo that again this year. But damn, is baseball out of whack when it comes to free agency and what these free agents get paid. In any other league, average players who hit the market with a reasonable age get just absurd sums of money, right? In every league, the NFL, every year, there's so many average players who end up getting massive deals, like their top line starters. Just today, Blake Bortles with a $18 million a year extension for 3 years. So, I mean, every kind of
surprising
free agent guys get huge money in sports, except in baseball, where the system must be broken to some degree.
Because it is a little.
You only have $30 million a year guys and like $300,000 a year guys. I mean, it's so crazy, the discrepancy in the pay for some of these guys and how long those rookie contracts last.
Well, a lot of the guys don't hit the free agent market until they're 28, 29 years old.
Yeah, it's a pretty messed up system.
Granted, a lot of them
don't. But they can play a lot of great baseball.
Yeah, granted, a lot of them don't actually start contributing to a major league ball club until they're 25. Mm-hmm. You know, given like the minor league system, like you come out of college, you're 22, you play in double A for a single A, double, you know what I mean? You sort of work your way up. I mean, the Mike Trouts of the world, the Bryce Harpers of the world are the anomalies, right? Most other guys toil away, they earn their way up, and then they play like 30 games their rookie season.
And then
season.
They have like a breakout season, right. And then they're a star.
Yeah.
And then they take a big step backwards, and then they're finally like a reasonable pro as a third-year 29-year-old.
Right. And that
seems weird.
It sucks for them financially, but then on the other side of it is that the teams are forced to pay longer-term guaranteed contracts, which is slightly different than the NBA because the NBA has a far smaller roster. So the baseball a lot of times has to work within the idea that they've got, you know, 25 players as opposed to 15, and they pay you on the back end, right? So Joe Mauer is getting paid right now $23 million a season. Well, that's because he was really, really good 6 years ago, and they gave him a really, long-term deal. So
yeah.
They sort of, it's not retro pay in a way, but it's kind of like that, where they sign you to a long-term deal, knowing that your age 34 season is probably not going to be anywhere near your age 30 season. So the system is broken. And we talked about this, that a lot of these teams are waiting for free agency next year. Like, they're not going to pay these guys these ungodly sums of money when they know that the free agent class next season is absurdly good. And they're going to save some of their money for next season. So to segue that into the Twins, Eric, what do we want to talk about?
Yeah, so they're making moves. Levine and Falvey making moves and making some kind of balling on a budget type of move. Where some guys who have kind of fallen through the cracks in free agency are ending up on really team-friendly deals. So the latest is Logan Morrison, who's like a utility infielder. He can play first base. He can play third base. He can play some middle infield. I'm sure he could play in the outfield in a pinch. Really versatile guy who also hit 38 home runs last year for the Tampa Bay Rays. Yeah, and I mean, we signed him for $6.5 million with a team option to move that deal up to $16.5 million for 2 years. So, average money for 2 years would be just over $8 million.
Well, I think that's 16. That 16 doesn't vest until he hits a certain numerical value on his stats. So
they said it was easy to get to.
Yeah.
For the stats, I don't know exactly what they were, but it sounds like they gave him some incentives.
But he can't be a bust and get that money.
Or
he can't be hurt and get that money.
But right. The idea is, if he plays, I think he has a good chance to end up getting just over $8 million a year for 2 years from the Twins.
Well, and he makes, as a AL player, he's much more valuable because he can DH. And I mean, you're not signing Logan Morrison to be a shutdown first baseman defensively, right? I mean, Joe Mauer is going to play first base most of the season, but he can step into the DH role. We really signed him for his bat. Like Eric said, 38 home runs. We could use that.
That's
a lot. We didn't have a ton of pop last season, like from one guy outside of Miguel Sano for a month and a half.
Right.
So it's nice to have a guy where come in and mash right-handed pitching and we love you. You know, he's sort of like what Jim Tomei was when he signed, that one season for us. And Josh Willingham, same thing, coming in at the plate and just hit the long ball, man. You're not bunting for singles.
The long ball, you get that money.
We don't need the opposite field sack fly. Swing for the fences. That's all we need.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a really low-risk deal. They can get out of it after 1 year for relatively no money. He adds, a lot of depth to multiple positions. Like I said, he can play all across the infield. I think he's kind of insurance for Sano, who is a big power bat in the lineup, who can play third base. So if Sano, who, you know, possibly could have legal troubles, possibly could have weight and health troubles, he's kind of insurance and on a pretty low salary. And they've also made a couple other moves recently. Last week, we talked a little bit about right-handed pitcher Anibal Sanchez, who they signed to like a fringe professional minor league deal, right?
It's like $600,000. I think that's the minimum veteran pay for his tenure.
And the I wouldn't get out of bed for that. Good God.
The other one is veteran shortstop Eric Ibar is another one they signed to kind of like a minor league contract where if they need some of that depth, if they need to add another guy, they bring in a veteran who's played been a starting shortstop all across the league. He's a 12-year pro, and they bring him on relatively low money. So I think Felvey and Levine have kind of like been shopping in the bargain basket, but doing it in a way that's really smart, not increasing a ton of payroll, and they're most definitely a better team than they were last year.
Well, you can't – it's weird because you can't have enough, like, utility infielders. Like, Eduardo Escobar, never going to make any sort of all-star team barring a phenomenal season, but the guy can play second base, shortstop, and third base. And anytime you need to spell Dozier – I don't know who our starting shortstop is going to be going into this season. Sano, whoever's playing third base, he can go in for him. And so having a guy like Ibar, there's going to be guys that go on the DL. And a disabled list stint is, you know, 2 weeks minimum. I mean, it's a 15-day thing. And to have someone that just can hop in, you're not going to lose that much at the plate.
Serviceable, though.
Serviceable, and you get good defense. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect for our situation. Absolutely need to have those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, it reminds me a lot of a hard hat guy that we had that I couldn't stand, but every Minnesotan loved, Nick Punto.
Oh, man.
Why do we all like him? Because I remember liking him.
Because he tried hard?
Because he tried hard. He had a cool name. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I couldn't stand him, but everybody in Minnesota just loved him. They love that kind of guy. He's like the Danny Woodhead of baseball.
Okay.
Except he couldn't hit. I mean, so he was fine, but I think
we all know Danny Woodhead just knocks
it all
over the park.
Like, He made all these insane plays of like these diving balls. Like that's because he's slow. Like if he was fast, he would have got to that ball standing up.
Yeah, right,
and it would have been an easy play. Yeah, but he was slow and out of position. And
you're
terrible.
Such an elitist when you watch baseball.
No, but
the crowd goes wild and Barter's shaking his head like he should have been better positioned before the ball was hit.
Well, the other thing is I still do believe that if the right deal comes along, that the Twins will be willing to move around or even slightly above that $120 million payroll, which would be the highest in team history, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. Someone could correct me.
No, I think the highest is like 113.5, roughly.
And they're right around there.
113.1-ish. Yeah.
So I think if the right pitcher was willing to take a short-term contract, what are our options? Lance Lynn is one of them.
Alex Cobb
is another. And I know a lot of teams are looking at those guys, but no one is trying to give them big guaranteed deals. If one of those guys would be willing to take a 1-3 year deal, kind of around or below market value, I still think that the Twins would be willing to go there, especially with who's our pitcher who's injured?
Urban Santana.
I mean, especially with him out for, you know, I think maybe even possibly all the way till June. That's the kind of thing where I could see them still going and spending a little bit of money, moving towards that $120 million, and really trying to make themselves a contender for the division and definitely one of the top contenders for that wild card spot.
Well, I mean, until you sign better starting pitching, I don't think we're going to compete with the Indians for right now. I'm not saying that, you know, one Corey Kluber injury to them and the whole thing's off the rails for them. Starting pitching is going to be an issue. I mean, right now, Kyle Gibson is slotted in to be the fifth starter. We know what he is at this point. Not very good. There's a lot of other question marks in the rotation. Like you said, Santana's injured for 2 months. Signing a guy like Alex Cobb to a two-year, I mean, I would say, like, if he signed a two-year, $18 to $20 million deal, I think that would be a boon for the Twins, considering what he could probably get. Like, Jake Arrieta for the Cubs, who's a former Cy Young Award winner 2 seasons ago, I think, still unsigned.
Right.
Like, and I don't know
what
if
his agent's just holding out for like the, one well, of the biggest paydays ever.
Yeah, he's a Scott Boras guy.
I think it's weird. Arrieta is just a name.
I think it's weird though. I think there is an issue. I think with the collective bargaining agreement that they most recently signed, obviously they failed the players, because there's no way in baseball where money is silly at times. Should there be so many quality players sitting out there months into free agency with no team?
And as a Twins fan, I'm happy.
Yeah, it's right? great
because
for us.
Now we're getting
it's good
guys
for a team like us.
Yeah. So we get a guy Logan Morrison who hit 38 home runs last year for $6.5 million a year.
But then if you're a Red Sox fan or a Dodgers fan or a Cubs fan, even you're like, why aren't we? We have the money. Why aren't we going out to get this guy? He's still sitting there.
Yeah,
sign him. Sign him to anything. Like, we don't care. So there is that sort of dichotomy where, as a Twins fan, you're like, absolutely, let's drive the market as low as humanly possible. Let's sign him to a two-year bet-on-yourself kind of deal, and then you'll get another contract after that. But right now, we're sitting in a perfect spot, and we got Logan Morrison and Jake Odorizzi on the phone to Alex Cobb saying, dude, this culture is different. They want to win here. Come sign a short-term deal. Bet on yourself. You're still young enough. You'll get a, you know what I mean? So
I think they're saying, hey, it might not be perfect, but at least it's not Tampa.
Right. And it's better than $0.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Tampa, literally, we have no one left. They've traded away the whole team.
Everybody. Fire sale.
Yeah.
Just come anywhere else. Don't go back there. Yeah. So there we go. Yeah,
pretty like, no, I got a real check. Like, they actually signed it.
Yeah. So, you know, pretty exciting times. I think Felvin is moving on up in the best and most important front office in Minnesota.
And the thing that goes unnoticed is the amount of money that they've poured into analytics and scouting. And that cannot be underestimated in baseball or any sport, really, because it's really coming down to a game of inches with a lot of players. It's how are you able to evaluate them, and how are you able to take their skills and have that manifest on the field. And for years, the Twins were, no, we got these old-time scouts, and they got the eye test. Right, the eye test, and it's like, that doesn't work anymore. You can't mm-hmm. do that anymore. And so now they've invested in actual modern-day analytics, and that's a big deal for the Twins.
Well, I mean, think about it. There's not even a math equation to figure out how much more they're spending on it, because in the past, they were already paying the salaries of guys like Bill Smith and Terry Ryan to do other jobs, and their gut instincts were free.
Yeah,
and so, right. I mean, just like their gut and eye and experience wasn't any extra cost. And it's like now you're moving into 2018, looking at analytics, a sport where advanced metrics is so critical.
It's kind of where it was born.
Yeah,
I mean, if you want to look back to the, you know, everybody knows about Moneyball and Billy Bean. That's kind of where it started.
Yeah.
And honestly, for a smaller market team and a team where the owners have a lot of money but are not really willing to just go all out and spend it, it's so critical.
Dude, they got radio stations, man, to make.
They got a lot of money.
A lot of stuff going on.
They haven't been willing to spend a ton of it, and they have been known to go a little higher when they are competitive. But still, whether you're competitive or not, a small market team, you aren't going to go out and buy a $100 million pitcher. You just aren't going to do that.
Not going to happen.
And so you have to be able to have the right people in place to find the next $100 million pitcher or develop the next $100 million pitcher. And so I think they're attempting to take some of those steps to be the Twins of old, who were cutting edge, who were the best at developing players, who had the most incredible farm systems, who drafted so well, who were the best team in the field and did all the little things right to compete with all the big guys. And we've gotten so far away from that over the past decade that it's going to take a while to get that back. But I think with Felvin, we are on the right track.
Yeah, I would agree. It's looking up. I think the reality check for us as Twins fans, me more so than anybody else by 1,000 times, is starting pitching. We're not there yet. They're not ready. I mean, maybe Berríos makes the leap and becomes an elite 20-win, you know, starter. But beyond that, I mean, you got Irv. He's hurt. You never know what you're going to get out of that. And then behind them, it gets a little rough. So if we could go out and get, you know, I have some friends that are Cardinals fans. They didn't like Lance Lynn. They're like, he's a fastball guy. Like, throws fastballs. If you hit one out of the park, he's going to try and throw one faster past you. Like, that's not the
that's
what we're
solution
looking
to every problem.
Right.
How about a fastball?
Yeah. No. I'm not throwing the curveball, shaking off the catcher like every time. But it's better than, I think, a question mark, which would be Kyle Gibson, Mejia, handful of other guys. So until we actually upgrade starting pitching, I don't think we're quite ready to compete yet. I think offensively we'll be fine. I think pitching is really our only weak link right now. But it's exciting. I could not be more excited for the season. We had a really good season last season. Let's keep going. Let's keep building on this. Let's get better. Let's not have Buxton get hot like July 30th. Let's have him come out of the gate hot.
Dude, and spring training ball is upon us, man. I'm seeing scores on Comcast. I'm like, oh, shit, it's
I was on. Watching it today. It was a meaningless game, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, they're throwing in a
was
different pitcher.
Was it
1-1
or something like that, or was that yesterday?
It was 5-4, I think. Okay. We beat the Rays. But I saw this weird thing on the field. It was grass. Very strange looking. It was green. It was super bright. I didn't know what to think of it.
Yeah, right.
But it was kind of cool. You know, it's nice to see those things when you know that better weather is coming and baseball is coming.
Beautiful.
For me.
Beautiful.
All right, guys, let's move on to our last subject of the day, which is the red hot, but suddenly losing, Minnesota Wild. They're losing right now to the San Jose Sharks, 1-0 at home, but they have been on fire, moving all the way up to fourth in the Western Conference for points. They're on pace to end up around 100 points again. It's been a year that I don't think anyone has really been paying attention to for the most part. Not even a lot of loyal Wild fans are paying as much attention this year. But they are a team I think that we need to start talking about. They are missing star players. And I don't mean like that they're injured. They just don't really have star players on this team.
Okay. But they That's a whole different thing, isn't
it? But they have a lot of really nice NHL players. They really do. I mean, they're pretty deep when it comes to that. And they've been just on a tear. They were just out on the East Coast, and they pummeled both New York teams and the New Jersey Devils.
So they're pouring in some goals.
I don't want to curse them, because every time we seem like every time someone gets hot and we're like, let's do it, let's talk about them,
they skid a little bit. You know what? Guess what? We have nothing to do with it. So let's talk.
Yeah. No, you're right. This is the antithesis from like the last three seasons for us, which was world beaters through February.
Yeah.
And then we suck.
How many series are going to win? You know, like, let's go. We're going to, this is for sure the year we at least go to the Stanley Cup.
I mean, Western Conference Finals is pretty much a given.
Right.
And then this season,
so hot and everybody's talking about us and we get it into our own heads, which we all are guilty of. You're right. This is, they're coming on late.
This season was, everybody was hurt for 4 months. And I don't mean
every top six forward.
Every single good player on our squad has been hurt for a significant period of time this season, other than I think Ryan Suter.
And the guys who have played the most games, there are a few of them who've played a ton. Daniel Winnick, Mikko Koivu, Matt Dumba, Ryan Suter, Jason Zucker, and Eric Staal.
Okay, so Zucker I'll give because he, what is he at, 26 goals?
He's been like
goals.
The only consistent dude, yeah.
26
he's
goals.
25 goals. He's third in the team in points behind only Granlund and Staal. And he's been
and
there
Granlund
for,
was out for
he's
8
missed,
weeks,
he's missed,
something like that.
He's only missed 5 games. No, all the top guys. He's played 56. Everyone else has played 61. Mm. So Staal, Zucker, and Granlund have been kind of the consistent guys when it comes to games. But some of those guys...
Oh, sorry. I was thinking about Nino. I apologize. Yeah, sorry.
Charlie Coyle's only played 45. Nino's only played 42. Zach Parise's only played 22. I mean, so some of those like top six forward guys have missed significant amounts of time. Two-thirds of the season missed by Parise. A third of the season missed by Coyle. A third of the season missed by Nino. And it's pretty difficult when you're missing a lot of that, you know, top level talent to, you know, consistently compete. And they showed that they struggled to do that early in the year.
Well, we were just treading water
for
3 months. I mean, just literally trying to keep our heads afloat and stay, I mean, within reach of the top 8 teams in the West. Because divisions don't mean anything, which I don't even know why they have them. It's so stupid.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we're in the Northwest Division in the Pacific. Like, who cares?
Yep.
Just let's just say Western Conference and Eastern Conference. Like, the NHL is so stupid. But anyway, we're just treading water. Like, oh, my God, we're playing guys that nobody's ever even heard of from the AHL. Dubnyk was shaky at best. Stalock has been, I don't want to say he's a better goaltender, but he's looked better at times. Defense, who knows what was happening. You know, everyone seemed lost. Everyone was panicking, like, this is going to be a lost season.
Well, that's
fire sale. Sell everybody.
Rewind 2 months on this podcast. We were saying, like...
Yeah, we were like, we refused to talk about them.
We just weren't talking about them, and when we were, it was like...
sell everybody.
Who cares?
Stop being the 8 seed.
Let's actually dive, you know, for once and just rebuild.
Yeah, let's tank. Let's, do something different, but Now they're doing the thing where we're going to be the 3 seed and then we're going to lose in the first round. So we're right back where we should be.
Yeah, that's better, isn't it?
It's nice to see them playing a lot better. It's nice to see them playing consistently. I know Boudreaux is big on, you know, the little things in consistency, and they hadn't had that for a long time. Like you said, you know, Daniel Winnick is one of our best players. We just got him, you know, in the offseason. You know, when guys like Granlund are on fire, this team goes, and he's been playing really well as of late. We just need to see this continue for another 2 months. Can they do that? I don't know. I mean, it's the NHL is so hard, especially in the West, where you're playing really good. Like, we're playing the Sharks right now. They're a really good, you know, hockey club. And who knows? Who knows? I'm excited to see where the rest of the season is going. They're definitely going to be, if they're on, I'm gonna turn them on the TV now. They're kind of unbearable to watch. I didn't want to watch a lot of the sloppy games and all the excuses. Oh, it's just bad puck luck and all that stuff. Like, no, you guys are terrible.
But I reserve the puck luck argument for playoffs. When we playoff losses, I use the puck luck thing.
Well, that's a good one to go to.
I hold on to that for then.
A big piece of it, though, has just been, like you were saying, some of their top forwards having just huge killer streaks right now. Jason Zucker has 25 goals, 19 assists. He's moving in the direction of a point per game.
Quick on that, they were joking on a radio station today, or last week, that before the season started, he was going to donate $1,500 per goal to a charity. I don't remember the charity, but was getting a little nervous because, like, he's going to get to 30, and at $1,500 a goal, that's not a cheap check to write. So good for him, though.
Mikael Granlund, who struggled for some big stretches of the season, has kind of taken over again as maybe the best player on the team. He was definitely the best player last year. He's kind of moving back into that direction as the season's progressing here. He's going to probably pass his career high in points, leads the team, or second to the team with 49 points in 56 games. And then finally, Eric Staal, our only all-star, having like a throwback season right now. 29 goals, 29 assists. Almost a point a game, way up there in all stats in the NHL, and just kind of having this renaissance season, kind of back a throwback to some of his days in Charlotte or in Carolina with the Hurricanes.
Yeah, he disappeared last year about April 25th on, so hopefully that doesn't happen again this year, because he had a pretty decent season last year too, and then just never heard from him late in the season, so... Let's hope everything keeps rolling. The ball's rolling well. Let's keep it going.
Yeah, it's really exciting stuff. It's about time when we start talking about them, especially when Jimmy Butler gets hurt. They kind of are working to become the team that they have been over the last few years, a team that everybody watches on TV, you know, maybe the second most popular team in the Twin Cities, and a team who I think has been under the radar all season long, and now that they've kind of jumped back into the picture of a contender, someone we definitely need to spend a little more time on. So for all you Wild fans who always give us a hard time about skipping out on them and not giving them enough attention, we will give you guys that attention until they no longer deserve it.
And which deserve could be it. Next week. We don't even know.
It could be next week. Honestly, with the Wild, I get really upset if they like lose a game to a good team.
Yeah, you
like right now you're kind of like, I really wish we wouldn't have talked about them.
It's in the first period, and it's like they're down one, like, god damn it, they're sliding again.
That was fun. Dominated on a road trip to the East. They killed everybody, and I just give up on them after like 10 minutes.
Yeah, but no. To be fair, you do the same, like Jimbo, you do the same during Wolves games. First quarter, like we're down like 6. They hit a couple threes, and you're like, oh, this game's over. We're terrible.
I would never say the game is over, but I would say the team is terrible.
I've heard you say the game is over in the first quarter.
I would say that like they don't look like they're going to even compete in this game. Yeah. I will say that the difference is I do watch every Wolves game suffer through it.
Oh, suffer, it's not suffering anymore.
Oh, for me, it's every game is suffering.
Really?
I'm too invested at this point, and I suffer through it until they're like up by like 15 at the end, and then I'm like, yep, that's what we do. That's a nice win there, and then I calm down.
You sound like Eric talking about Arsenal.
Yeah.
No, we got some time. We ended with the Wild a little bit early. You want to go into it?
We can talk a little Premier League. Spend a minute.
It's great for me. I'm a happy Premier League fan right now.
Listen, we've talked about when Chelsea's been up. We've talked about when Arsenal's been close to competing for the title. I think we got to give Jim a little bit of due here now that Liverpool is knocking on the door for second place in the Premier League.
Well, we had second place for like a half a minute, but you're down until Chelsea.
Well, we lost at Old Trafford. Second,
yeah, I mean, I get it. I wasn't expecting you guys to win. I was hoping maybe a draw, and I would still hold on to. Yeah, because I think I would. Yeah, because we're up by
goal
two.
Differential. So
I don't know. Liverpool's fun. It's a very fun squad.
How are you feeling about your Bob Firmino jersey right now?
I love it. I think it's fantastic.
He's pouring in goals.
He's
he
awesome.
Had a no-look goal. I've never seen that before in my life.
It's his second of the year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When he's like, yeah, he dekes him out. Dude, I mean, I love it. Salah is fantastic. He's so fun to watch. Mane seems to sort of like... He had a great game at the Champions League game, so maybe he does a little bit better out of Premier League, but he's been good too. He's had a couple goals. He does seem to like kind of get great chances and miss wide regularly, but dude, I love my squad. I feel fantastic. Obviously, my other choice was City, and that would have been great, but at the same time, I sort of see why, like...
You would have been bored.
I wouldn't feel... Yeah, you're right.
It would have been like, okay, I might have sort of tuned
in after the fact to check the score type of thing, and I don't know. I feel good about Liverpool. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you'd have a hard time explaining to people why you were a City fan, and you'd be a little embarrassed, I think.
Right.
You'd be like, yeah, no, I'm new to the sport, and I picked City.
Yeah, right. It's yeah, like,
of course
really?
You did. Of course you did.
It's a big surprise why you went with them.
So speaking of City, they played Arsenal today in the Carabao Cup.
The coffee cup.
Which is
the coffee, yeah. Caribou, we get it.
It's a league cup game. So every league has their own league cup, which is just like, how can we make more money by just making up a tournament?
Running our players into the ground.
Yeah, it doesn't really, like a meaningless tournament.
But, you know, by this metric, Arsenal is the second best team in the Premier League. So go with that.
So in this game, though, it's always weird because in some of these extra tournaments, they consistently play some of the backups. So both teams play their backup goalie today, which is always strange. Arsenal had a chance about 7 minutes into the game and literally did nothing positive the rest of the time. They end up losing 3-0.
Yeah.
The announcers on ESPN, in between just promoting the crap out of MLS, were just destroying Arsenal and Arsene Wenger, the coach.
It was almost embarrassing, the MLS talk, because it was on ESPN.
Yeah.
Like, ESPN was like, no, you guys, literally, it's in your contract. You have to bring it up every 5 minutes.
Yeah, they were like, hey, if you like this game between Man City and Arsenal, two of the richest teams on earth, two of the highest spenders,
some of the most best talent.
Some of the best talent. If you like
De Bruyne, you won't like the MLS. There's nobody with an ounce of that talent.
Hey, if you like this, then maybe you'll enjoy some of the past stars of the Premier League. It's like the senior PGA Tour. And mixed with some American college kids who weren't good enough to play anywhere else.
Tune in to the Portland Timbers against Kansas City Sporting.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Really right. Not quite the same level there, bud.
Yeah, they're like, this is just, if you like quality, this would be considered the 7th or 8th best league in Europe.
Right.
Just below the Dutch league.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of ran that one into the ground. But the big games of the day were obviously Arsenal versus City. And Chelsea versus United.
Really big games.
Yeah, two really big games. City showed again that they are the class of England in a just dominant performance over Arsenal. The game was never in question. It was never in doubt. 3-0 win. And then in a really good game, actually.
It was good. The outcome wasn't great, but it was a good match.
United and Chelsea was a very good game. It was very open, a lot of chances both ways, good goalkeepers on both sides. Chelsea actually grabbed an early lead and definitely were the second best team in the second half as United got some critical points, keeping them in second place. Really should have a trophy at the end of the season for who wins second place in the Premier League.
Well, Tottenham would be top tier if second place was a trophy.
Yes, I mean, it's pretty exciting. It's funny. At this point, we say this every time we talk about soccer. I just wish someone, one of our listeners would be like, yeah, no, I've been giving it a shot with the Premier League. I'd love to hear. I know some of our listeners are very loyal fans to their teams.
There's like the group of people that have always been watching.
Yep.
And
we've got some really loyal fans that kind of, you know, for some reason there's a weird number of them that like the Spurs. But yeah, we definitely have a good amount of fans that like the Premier League, but I'm so curious if there's anyone who has been following the great coverage, has been listening to some of our conversations about the Premier League and kind of figuring out for themselves which team they want to choose.
Well, if you're out there, please let us know.
It's hard to do, though, too, because, I mean, how long did it take you to pick a team?
I mean, I watched a full season.
It was over a year.
It was, yeah, it was like a season and a half it took me to pick. And then I watched this entire season.
And even when you narrowed it down, you were waffling.
I waffled the entire time.
Which makes sense. And I think it's really hard to get into any new league that you've never been accustomed to or never watched regularly to just randomly pick a club and say, let's go. Mm-hmm. Like, it's usually like my best man at my wedding is a whatever fan, and so I started watching with him, and then you know off to the races from there. You had to go like clean, no influence. Well, other than
the
I'm
funny
not
thing
picking.
Is that it would have been easy for me to pick one of your squads, but I wasn't going to choose between you two. Number one and number three, I wanted to represent a third team on the pod.
You went from number one to three, but so are you saying like if we were, let's just say for the sake of argument,
two I'll keep to myself. Thank you.
For the sake of argument, we were both Chelsea supporters, or we were both Arsenal supporters. You would have gone with them, possibly?
Maybe.
It might have been easier to tag along?
Maybe.
It is funny.
So you're a follower. You're not a trailblazer. I'm just kidding.
Trust me, I overthink everything, and I overthought the shit out of this decision. And ultimately, I'm happy. I'm very happy with Liverpool.
Sorry to interrupt. I think it's really cool that we each have a different club. I'm glad that you don't support the same one, because one, it would feel like, oh, they're ganging up on the lone person. But then also, I do find myself taking more interest in Liverpool if they're on TV.
So like, you can text
I just want to know how they're doing, right? Yeah. Because I'm interested because you're interested.
Yeah.
And I like that sort of symbiotic relationship that we all kind of have, which is I'm not rooting one way or the other, but I'm interested in the results.
I have all three of our clubs favorited on ESPN and Comcast, right? So I see their games, I see their scores. And that's just how it is.
Same.
It's nice.
Yeah, I have the same. Yeah, I like it. I like that we're all in on top six clubs, and I have to say that because we're fifth and Arsenal sixth. But we're on the top six clubs in England,
right?
And that's great.
Yeah, I think you and I are firmly stuck in that 5 to 6 range.
Well, we're currently the champions of England, so.
All right, guys, that's all the time we have this week for the Northeast Podcast. Make sure you check out our high interview. It was a great episode. It was a lot of fun. It's one of the hot restaurants in Northeast Minneapolis and just in all of the Twin Cities, to be honest with you. A great place to go. Give them a try and listen to that episode. Also, we'll be back later this week with our screencast when we break down some new Netflix shows, talk about award season, and really get after some of the top most interesting movie and television news. So we'll be back with you guys later this week with the Northeast Podcast.